Today's reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
So we are continuing with our series on the Gospel according to Luke. We have learned so far that Luke, the writer of the Gospel, was a medical doctor or a physician, which means he was a scientist. He was also a Gentile and is the only non-Gentile author of the New Testament. And his purpose was to present an accurate account of the life of Jesus Christ and to present Christ as the perfect human and savior. That was his purpose. So whatever we read from the book of Luke, we should know that the intention was to present an accurate account. You know, scientists are so keen, or they are supposed to be precise and accurate in whatever they do. If the scientist is an engineer, there is also need for precision and accuracy in whatever they do. So Luke wanted to present to the church, to Theophilus, that was his original audience. He wanted to present to Theophilus, Theophilus meaning one who loves God. So scholars believe that Theophilus was actually an imaginary somebody, which only meant one who loves God. So it's an accurate account being presented to anyone who would love God, anyone who loves God. That was the original audience of Luke. So though he was a scientist, Luke emphasizes on prayer, miracles, and angels. So he is unlike other scientists who maybe rubbish anything that cannot be explained scientifically. He talks of miracles, something that you wouldn't expect from a scientist, but we should know that he investigated it and got to know that it was true and it was accurate, whatever he wrote about prayer, about miracles, about angels. He investigated it and realized and maybe agreed with it concerning the accuracy and precision of the narratives that he got from the eyewitnesses. So last time we read from Luke chapter 4, verse 31 to 44, where Luke was narrating that Jesus preached in synagogues. And his preaching was not just some kind of talk without power, but it was authoritative, such that demons would manifest while he was preaching. Demons would manifest and he would cast them out. Jesus would cast them out. Because his speaking was not in mere words. his speaking was not in mere words, but it was in the demonstration of power. We also learned that Jesus got to Simon's home and found Simon's mother, his mother-in-law, with a high fever. If it was in our time, we would say he found Simon's mother-in-law with COVID-19. And people begged him to heal her. And Jesus rebuked the fever, and the fever left her. So she got healed instantly. Without administering any injections or anything, she just got healed. The fever was rebuked, and it spoke to the fever, and the fever left here. So we want to picture the scene for today's text. We read from Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. We want to picture the scene. What really happened? We know that it was in the morning. And the previous night, there were some fishermen who had spent the whole night trying to catch some fish like they used to do. And they caught nothing. So Jesus stood in the shore of the Sea of Galilee that morning. He was standing by the shore of the sea. And nearer to where he was standing, these frustrated fishermen were washing their nets and repairing their nets. They were frustrated. One of them was Simon, whose mother-in-law was healed of a high fever. He was one of the fishermen, the professional fishermen, who were frustrated that morning by the shore of the Sea of Galilee. They had toiled the whole night in the Sea of Galilee and caught nothing. So they were obviously feeling tired and hopeless and frustrated. That was their condition that morning. Fishing was their livelihood. Fishing was their profession. And people depended on them for fishing, for fish, and they also needed fish as their own food. So being professional fishermen, they tried whatever they could during that night and they couldn't catch anything. They caught nothing. Now they were cleaning and repairing their nets. Then came this radical rabbi. Then Jesus came to the shore. God often chooses our lowest moments, our weakest places, to do his greatest work. When we think we are toiling, when we are sighing the last of our lost hope, God has a pattern of acting. When we are sighing the last of our lost hope, when we are frustrated, when we are at our lowest, then he brings about a shift. So God often chooses our lowest moments, our weakest places, to do his greatest work. One would wonder whether this was mere coincidence, that these professional fishermen couldn't catch anything throughout the night, and then in the morning, Jesus appears at the shore. I believe it was not mere coincidence. This was by design. It was Jesus who caused them not to catch anything because he had a bigger plan for them in the morning. So they couldn't catch anything. Despite employing all their skills, all their expertise, they caught nothing. It was not because there were no fish in the sea. Everything, all conditions for catching the fish were prevailing. But they couldn't catch because God had a bigger plan for them. So I believe it was by design and not mere coincidence. Jesus usually preached in the synagogues. But today, he came to the fishing spaces. He had something to teach. He usually wants to teach in pictures and in images. So he came to the fishing spaces, to the Sea of Galilee, this particular morning. We don't know where he was coming from, but he just appeared at the seashores with these fishermen, frustrated and tired and wanting to go back to home to sleep so that maybe they could try to fish again at night. Jesus appeared and he started to teach a group of people at the shore. He started to teach a group of people, and the crowd got bigger and bigger. The crowd was listening to God's word. Not like you are doing right now. Right now you are listening to somebody who is trying to preach the word of God. Now this crowd was listening to God himself, Jesus, the Son of God, who was God himself. So they had an opportunity to listen to God when he came down and was in the flesh. They were listening to him. So they were listening to God's word from God's mouth. So that was a great opportunity. So they started to press around Jesus Christ at the shore, at the seashore, at the Sea of Galilee. They started to press at him like the fish pressing into a net. They were pressing at him. So he was like showing an example to these frustrated fishermen, an example of how to fish for men, how to catch men. So these people who were pressing at him, they were like fish pressing into a net. So I assume that this pressure that was being put on Christ when people were pressing around him to try and be at the front row where they could hear and get everything of what he was teaching, I assume that it attracted the attention of these frustrated fishermen. And they also drew near with their clean and empty nets. Jesus could not remain at the on land anymore. He could not remain on the shore anymore. So he also needed a boat for his fishing. This fishing that he was showing to these frustrated men, he also needed a boat. So he got into a boat which was nearby. And it happened to be the boat of Simon. They knew each other. Jesus and Simon knew each other previously, when Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law and also made so many healings at that homestead, at Simon's homestead. So they knew each other from before, from the experiences of each other. So he got into that boat and asked Simon to put it a little away from the land so that he could fish from the sea. So he was now fishing for people who were gathered by the shore, using his word as a net to catch them alive. So he spoke from that boat, sitting in the boat, speaking to the people, teaching the people from the boat. You would wonder how that could happen, that one gets into the sea to try and speak to people who are on land. You would think that there would be so much noise of the waves of the sea and whatever. But those who have studied the place where he was speaking from, the geography of the shoreline at the place where Jesus was that morning, is such that it forms a natural theater which projects the voice very well to those who were on the shore. So they could hear him very well. The geography allows for the theater or the place amplifies the voice such that people could hear him well when he was preaching from the boat on the sea. Luke did not bother to tell us the substance of the message of Jesus Christ that morning, so which means his aim was not to tell us what Jesus taught the crowd that morning. He aimed at these fishermen. So he just said when Jesus finished speaking to the crowd, his focus shifted to Peter, whom I believe was sitting in that same boat when Jesus was preaching or was teaching the crowd. Peter was with him on the boat. So he just shifted and said, pull out into the deep. Pull out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch. That is what Jesus told Peter. He was making a setup for demonstration of power. He wanted to have an encounter with Peter in his daily activities. He wanted to manifest his power and glory to Peter in his daily activities. Usually, the Bible seems to show me a pattern where God wants to show his glory and power to somebody whom he wants to send. It makes me remember the story of Moses. When God wanted to send him, he appeared in a bush which was burning but which was not being consumed. God wanted to give Moses an encounter that he would always refer to. Whenever he would meet obstacles on the way, he would always remember the burning bush which was not being consumed. So this is what Christ Jesus wanted to give to Peter and his partners. He wanted to show them his glory and his power so that they have an encounter with which to go into the world with as their basis. So he wanted to adjust their God concept. He wanted to give them a good God concept, to show himself as glorious and powerful, so that they would go into the world with confidence, knowing that we have a mighty God. It also makes me remember Paul when he was on his way to Damascus. He would always refer to that encounter. I remember him in front of King Agrippa. He would always say it was in the middle of the day. And I saw a light which was greater than the light of the sun. And we all fell down and whatever, and he describes his experience. So sometimes we need a manifestation of God. We need an encounter with him, to which we can always refer. When people ask us questions about our belief, we say we met him. So this time Jesus wanted to do that to these disciples as a way of teaching them. So he told Peter, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch. Which means he knew that they caught nothing last night. So they were supposed to, he was now telling them how to fish and where to fish. And Peter responded. He answered with an attitude. He said, Master. The word which was used, the Greek word for master, which was used for master, they could also mean commander, leader, or boss. He said, boss, leader, commander, we toiled all night and caught nothing. We toiled all night and caught nothing. The way the title that he gave to Jesus shows that Peter was willing to take orders from Jesus. But he was like saying in his mind, Jesus, you know all about theology. And we love to hear you teach about God. And we also love to hear you teach about the kingdom of God. But give us some credit. We are professional fishermen. We know about how to fish and how not to fish. Where to fish and where not to fish. And with all our knowledge, we had empty nets all night. We caught nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. That was the most important part of his response. He said, at your word, I will let down the nets. Because you have said it, I will let down the nets. This was a show of faith. Because you have said it, I will let down the nets. At your bidding, I will let down the nets, which means he knew that the word of Jesus Christ does not return to Christ void. It does not come back to Christ with nothing. It accomplishes whatever it is supposed to accomplish. It makes us remember that at God's word, there was light in this earth. At his word, life came to this earth. And the writer of Hebrews says that God upholds all things by the word of his power. So it seems like Peter had come to this knowledge that the word of God will not return void. So he said, at your word, he obeyed with an attitude. He reluctantly obeyed God. He was like saying to Jesus, I don't want to do this, master. But since you are my master, and since you have commanded me to do it, I will reluctantly do it. I will reluctantly do it. Maybe today you came to church, but with an attitude. There are some things that we do reluctantly. Maybe it's coming to church. Sometimes we push ourselves to come to church with an attitude. We do not want to come. Maybe for those who are following us online, you connect online reluctantly. But sometimes God blesses us even if we do things reluctantly or with an attitude. Just like what he did with Peter and his friends. God will still do us well. God will still do you well even if you came with an attitude like what Peter was showing here. So we know that after he obeyed, they had a great catch. Peter had a great catch out of that obedience. Peter had a great catch out of that obedience. He was amazed by that great catch, and he responded by falling on Jesus' knees. I want to think that Jesus was still on the boat. The Bible does not tell us whether after preaching Jesus got out and stood by the shore. It seems like he was still on the boat and the great catch was occurred while he was there. So Peter responded by falling on the knees of Jesus Christ and said, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man. I don't deserve this miracle. I am a sinful man." You know, sinful people want to stay as far away as they can from Jesus Christ. So he was saying, go away from me. I am a sinful man. The presence of a holy God makes sinners very uncomfortable. So Peter felt what Isaiah felt, as recorded in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah said when he had a glimpse of God's holiness, he cried out, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So Isaiah had this sin consciousness. That same sin consciousness also came upon Peter when he saw this miraculous catch. He said, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man." But God is a gracious God. He loves to convert and to transform sinners. He said to Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." From now on, you will be catching people. That was the response of Jesus to Peter. He did not say, "Peter, you are not a sinner, you are not sinful." But he said, "From now on, you will be catching people." In other gospels, he would say, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The Greek word used for catching people here is zogrewo, which means catching them alive. We all know that when people are fishing, they fish, they take the fish out of the water to kill the fish, so that when the fish is out of water, it dies. But now, with catching people, it will be catching them alive. As the Greek term zegro implies, it will be catching them alive so that they are transformed from a life of sin to a life of righteousness in Jesus Christ. So that is what Jesus told Peter. He said, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." We are today's disciples. We are also supposed to spread the net of grace, because the unregenerate people, are like fish in water. And sin is their water, or sin is their home. They play in sin. The devil captured them alive. The devil trapped them alive, and they are playing in death. They are playing in sin. So Christ said, I have shown you how to catch people in the morning when I was preaching to the crowd. And I also gave you an encounter of my glory and power in your daily activities of fishing, so that you can go out into the world and become fishers of people, basing on the teaching and the example that I have shown you. So we are supposed to also go out fishing for people. When we are thinking of the state of the world right now, and when we listen to the news, seeing all this, the war that is happening in Ukraine, you realize that we really need to be fishers of people. The devil has captured people's hearts such that they become heartless and they can engage in useless wars. We need the church to rise and become fishers of people. We should go out as witnesses, furnishing the world that Jesus is alive. We cannot all, the passage that we read this morning says that when Jesus said this, when he said you are going to be catching people, and when they had brought out the boats and the fish, they left everything and followed him. They literally left everything. They left the big catch, the boats and the nets, and they followed him. Without thinking of their business and their professions, they left and followed him. My message is not so that we can all leave whatever we are doing and maybe start preaching. We cannot all be full-time ministers. We cannot all be preachers. But we can be witnesses. Every Christian has to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Every Christian has a duty to furnish the world with the good news that Jesus is alive. We should show love to the world. We have a duty to be fishers of men. We have a duty to catch men, catching them alive. We are not going to be driving people into the net that we spread. We are not going to be driving them on our own, because our duty is just to follow Christ. We have a duty to follow Jesus Christ. When we follow him, he will make us fishers of people. So we don't need to fear. We simply follow him and he will make us. He will make us fishers of people. Public worship like this one we are having right now, and the way we do church, if we do it well, it can also be a net. Like what John wrote in John chapter 13, verse 35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So if we love one another, the world will see that we are an alternative society of love. They will be attracted by love amongst ourselves, and they will say, "I want to join this community of love." So if you have a culture of love, that we become a very effective missionary community. That attracts the world. That attracts those who are outside to see the love amongst us. So we should continue developing a culture of love as a net of fishing people so that they come out of darkness into His marvelous light. Private conversations at home, at work, in the streets, and many other places can be a net to catch people alive. So we should always pray that God reveals opportunities to us, opportunities to catch people. To catch people, He should give us wisdom in the marketplace to exemplify a saved life. When we show love in the world, they will end up asking us why we live like that, why we behave like that, and it becomes an opportunity to refer them to Christ who transformed us. So it's not like we will move around holding Bibles and preaching in the streets. People want to see Jesus in us. The love of Christ should be seen in us because we are fishers of people. We should go around catching people. We should go around catching people. That is our duty. So maybe you could be feeling guilty that you haven't been catching people. The word of God that Jesus told to Peter was that, do not be afraid from now on. Doesn't matter whether you've been failing to do that all along. Jesus has a chance, is giving us another chance to say from now on, you will be catching people. So it should be, we should be conscious of that duty that we are supposed to catch people from now on. From today going forward, the word of God is saying that we are supposed to catch people. We should be a missionary community. We should be going out. The theme, the mission of Inches Church is that we call in, we build up, and we send out. We are a missionary community, a community that sends out fishers of people. So that should always be, we should always be conscious of that, that we are, whenever we give each other grace and say this benediction, we are sending each other out to different front lines where we work, where we stay, catching people. So that should be our goal, that should, we should be conscious of that, that we should be representatives of Jesus Christ wherever He places us. So I am going to read as we finish from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25 to 26. Paul wrote that Timothy must correct those who are in opposition with Cates, meaning those who don't believe in Christ, with courtesy and gentleness, in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and be led to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. The word which said, the term which said held captive is zogreo, which means the devil trapped people alive, he captured them alive to do his will, and it is our duty to attract them back to life so that they are loosed from the grip of the devil to come to abundant life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you saved us so that we could be fishers of people. Help us, Holy Spirit, as we follow you, to make our fingers more nimble and gentle and active so that we can catch people wherever they are, wherever you place us. Make us an effective missionary community in this world that really needs you. This lost world where people have been held captive by the devil, where people are doing the will of the devil. May you equip us, your church, to be a missionary church that spreads your love in the world, that spreads your love in a loveless world, in a world which is infested by violence and war, that we may be able to fish people so that they come out of darkness into your marvelous light. We pray for all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.